And so I'm going to read from Nehemiah chapter 8. The background of this is that Nehemiah was very sad. He was the cupbearer to a king, and he was very sad because he'd heard that things weren't going well in Jerusalem, that the temple or the city of Jerusalem, all the walls had been knocked down and everything else, and everything was in a bit of a mess. And so we find that he asked the king if he could go and start to rebuild the walls, and he had lots of opposition with the walls being built, but eventually everybody got to work. Everybody had a whole section of the wall to do, each family or each group, and eventually they built the wall. They had lots of opposition, people mocking them and saying, oh, it can't be done, and all the rest of it. And we find that in the end, they built the wall. And when they'd built the wall, then they got together to give thanks. And this is what we read in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning till midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood a whole lot of names there that I'm not going to try and pronounce. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And again, a whole lot of people caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. And so they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused there to be understanding of the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them who have nothing prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You might say, well, what's that about? Well, it's good sometimes, isn't it, to realize that when we read God's word, when we get together to worship him, it's a time of joy. It's a time of blessing. And God doesn't want us to be a bunch of miseries. You know, he'd like us to rejoice because of all the good things that he's done for us. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of knowing the Lord Jesus is our strength. In time of trouble, but also in time of rejoicing. And as we come up to Christmas, you know, it's good that we can, if you like, I know a bit different this year, but get together at least with some and to eat and drink, enjoy ourselves, share what we got with others, and make sure that nobody goes without. But we're grateful because we've been able to read God's word and share it together. It's so precious to us. Right. Let's sing again then, Jude, please, if we could. Number 477. 3 Sunday mornings, isn't it? Jeff with peace last week, joy now, and love next week. Like to read from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, the first 15 verses. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Trust God will bless that reading as well. It's just reminding us that we are different, aren't we? If we know the Lord Jesus, if we're his, then our perspective is different. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What a lovely thought. Let's come to the Lord in prayer now. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, the Bible, and the wonderful truths that are contained within it. Lord, we thank you that it is our guidebook for life. And we do pray, Lord, that we might just be encouraged to read it more and to respond to it. Lord, it's all very well reading it, but unless we respond to what it says, then it's a little bit in vain. And Lord, we need to be forgiven for all those times when we don't do things as we should. We say things that we didn't ought to and don't really mean. We do things that we didn't ought to. Lord, we pray that you would just help us to grow more like yourself day by day. And as we come to this season of remembering your birth, Lord, help us to remember, above all else, that you left heaven's glory, became a babe in a manger, and then went to that cross and died that we might be forgiven. Lord, we thank you that that wasn't the end. Thank you that you rose again, victorious over sin and death. And Lord, now you're seated at God's right hand in glory. And one day, you're coming back for all those who love you. Oh Lord, that is such joy for those of us who believe. Encourage us, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel with those around. Lord, may our lives live up to what we believe and encourage us to share the good news with others around us. Lord, we pray for all the churches and chapels in the area, whatever they're seeking to do around this Christmas time to tell others the good news, to worship together. Lord, we know that there are restrictions, quite severe ones, and we just pray that you will help us to work within them, but at the same time to seek to share the good news of the gospel with others around. Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, it's certainly at a crisis point. We hope that we're beginning to win on the coronavirus problem. But Lord, we've got Brexit as well. And it all seems a bit of a mess. And Lord, therefore we pray for those in positions of authority over us, that you will grant them the wisdom that they need. And Lord, that they might seek that wisdom from yourself, knowing that you are the only true source of wisdom. Lord, we ask that as a nation, your Holy Spirit might work in our hearts and lives, that we might be made aware of the glorious gospel of our Savior, and that people might turn to you. We pray for any who are out on the streets, perhaps giving out tracts or doing whatever they're allowed to do at the moment, to tell others the good news. Be with them and bless them. And Lord, as we look at the world situation, besides the problem of coronavirus, there are wars, there are strifes, there are conflicts. We think of those girls in Nigeria that have been abducted in the last few days. Lord, we pray that they might be found, and that they might be found well. We pray too for those who are doing all these evil deeds. Lord Jesus, you died for them as well. And we pray that they might respond to your love, that they might hear of it. And we pray, therefore, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in these very difficult areas, that they might shine for you, that their joy might be in you, despite of all their circumstances. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. I wonder if we could sing again, please, Jude, number 383. I know that Mission Praise tries to update hymns and that sort of thing, but I do like the old wording of Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, rather than the joy of loving hearts. True source of life and light of men. From the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to you again. 383, please. What do we mean by the word joy? You know, sometimes you see people winning some sports prize or other and holding up a cup, and you see, if you like, pictures of glamorous young ladies either side with great big grins on their face, and you know, that's not joy. Joy is something that we can express deep down. It's something that nobody can take away from us. If it's the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's there whatever circumstances we're in. Because sometimes life is fairly tough, isn't it? And yet we can have God's joy down in our hearts, coping with whatever the world throws at us. And I would just like to read one of my favorite verses from Habakkuk, because it just reminds us. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, in Habakkuk 3:17, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Despite everything going wrong, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can joy in the God of our salvation. The love of God to us is far greater than any problems that we can have in the world day by day. You know, those people in Africa that have suffered so much at the hands of Boko Haram and other terrorist groups, many of them are still rejoicing in God's love for them. Because whatever the world throws at us, God's love is there for us. And as we come to the Christmas story, we have a number of points there in Luke's first two chapters of joy. We get to the situation where, what is it, Zacharias and Elizabeth getting on in years, no children, quite upset about that really. They long for that, because in that culture, a lady not having children was not a good thing. And so we read there that, you know, Zacharias was there. He was the high priest for that time. And he went into the temple. And he went into the Holy of Holies, the place that the high priest went in once a year. And he went in there to offer incense and worship. And what happened? We find that an angel was there beside the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled. It says, fear fell upon him. And the angel said, fear not, Zacharias. You know, I promised you something. God has promised. You will have joy and gladness, because your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And many shall rejoice at his birth. Sometimes it's easy to doubt God, isn't it? Sometimes things happen and you think, well, God can't overcome that one. But Scripture tells us that, asks us the question, is anything too hard for God? You know, each one of us perhaps have got secret thoughts of what we'd love to happen, what we'd love to occur. And yet, sometimes we can think, well, God can't do that. The truth of the matter is, God can, if he chooses. We find then that Zacharias had a period where he was unable to speak because he doubted that what the angel had said. And so we find that after a time, it was time for the lad to be born. And he was born. And they sort of asked Elizabeth what his name was going to be, and she said John. And the family sort of all around, or all the relatives and all the friends and neighbors, thought, well, why is that? Nobody in your family is called John, you know. And it was a tradition to hold the family name down and down. But whilst Elizabeth was pregnant, Mary had a visitation from the angel as well. And we read there about the fact that she was to become the mother of the Son of God. And then she went over to see her cousin Elizabeth and stayed there. And Elizabeth was so thrilled with the news. I mean, Mary had this absolutely astounding news, which was that she was to be the mother of the Son of God. And yet, in those days, it would have been a terrible shame, a dreadful thing to be conceiving out of wedlock. And so we find that she was, well, we found that Joseph was wanting to put her away quietly out the way while it all happened. And because, if you like, engagement was virtually like marriage in those days, you didn't go back on that. And so we find that Joseph is wanting to just quietly deal with it. But the fact was that God had used ordinary people. He'd blessed a couple who were very faithful to him with a son called John, who was going to proclaim the good news of the gospel to herald the fact that Jesus was coming. And we found that the angel, when it spoke to Mary, said, look, Elizabeth's going to have a baby, even though she's very old. And we find that Mary went over and stayed with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth rejoiced. And we read in Scripture that in the Elizabeth's womb, the boy, John, rejoiced. Now, we don't understand all that, or why it happens, or how it happens, but the reality is that we read that he rejoiced. There was joy in the babe, in Elizabeth's womb, because of the news about the Lord Jesus. Do we get excited about Jesus? You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to just take Jesus for granted, really. I mean, I think it's probably true of us that are older, that if we've been Christians a long time, sometimes it's very easy to take our salvation for granted and not to get excited or thrilled about the fact of what Jesus has done. We don't need to be there. However long we've been Christians, however long we've walked that Christian pathway, the joy of our salvation should still be as great as ever. In fact, it could be more so because of all the things that we've been through with the Lord Jesus guiding us and helping us. You know, it doesn't deteriorate with age or with time. The more we know the Lord Jesus, the more we've been through with him, the greater our joy should be, and often is, because he's done so much for us, and it strengthens our faith, because time and time again, we find little things happening, and if we recognize them as things that God has done, you know, God's timing sometimes is so perfect. You know, we just have little things happen, and they could have happened before, they could have happened afterwards. But God allows it to happen just on time. John was born. Great rejoicing over that. And after that, Mary went back to be with Joseph. And after being with Joseph, they had this familiar passage in chapter 2 of Luke, where there was a census and they had to go to Bethlehem. And whilst they were in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus was born. And there was great rejoicing. Here on earth, the shepherds rejoiced when they heard the news. But there was greater rejoicing in heaven. We come to this time of year. It's a time of joy. Yes, it could be a time of sadness because perhaps loved ones aren't with us anymore. Perhaps things aren't going quite according to plan. Perhaps there's a few more aches and pains than we had last year. But we can still rejoice in what God's done for us. You know, the old hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I wonder how often you've counted your blessings and realized how good God is. I just hope that this Christmas time, we might just rejoice in what God's done for us, how he's loved us and cared for us and watched over us. And if we really have accepted what God's done for us, then we should be rejoicing. Whatever our circumstances, there's nothing more important than to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Because it's only when we've got the joy of the Lord in our hearts can we get through those really difficult times. The joy of the Lord there is our strength. That's what Nehemiah said, didn't he? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is it your strength? Is it your strength? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you realizing, am I realizing, just what God has done for us? And are we rejoicing because of it? I just trust that you might rejoice this Christmas in God's goodness to us. That's really all I want to say. Because that to me is so important. That whatever our circumstances are, we can rejoice in our salvation. We can rejoice in what God's done for us. And that we might be blessed. There was joy because of the birth of John. John rejoiced even in the womb at the news about Jesus. The shepherds rejoiced at the birth of the Lord Jesus. Are we rejoicing on the birth of the Lord Jesus, on his death, on his resurrection, and what he's done for us? I trust that we are. Amen. We'll conclude by singing number 393, please. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. 393, please, you. Let's conclude with the benediction in Jude, which talks about joy as well. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.